Mug Meeting Summaries podcast. I'm Gilbert Detilieu. Our September meeting's RTFM topic featured me talking about background execution in the Unix shell, as well as commands for job control and process monitoring.
Most of you probably know that, just like you can run a command like this in the foreground, you can also, by putting an ampersand behind it, run it in the background. In this case, it's kind of a very trivial example because it executes very quickly, so you probably don't even notice the difference there. Other than, I'll just point out that when you do run something in the background, it indicates a job number, and after the output of the command is done and the program finishes, the shell then indicates that the status of that job number one is done. All right.
You can demonstrate the sleep command doing that.
Sure. So there. So that one just slept for 5 seconds, and then eventually it indicated that it was done. So you can see that it's, and of course, while that's executing, you could be doing other commands and getting output from them, etc. What you may not know is that example of executing with the ampersand is actually just sort of like the simple minimal case of what could be a whole chain of commands. And it's just a modification on the syntax where you would do things like, well, I'll do a shorter one. Basically, if you separate commands with a semicolon on the same command line, they're all executed sequentially, one after the other. After the first command completes, the second one starts executing. By doing the same thing with ampersands, you're essentially, instead of a command sequence, you're doing concurrent command execution. So all of them, except for the last one, which doesn't have an ampersand at the end, are being executed asynchronously, so in the background. So in this case, job number one, this process ID was the sleep. Job number two, this process ID was the who. And then the date command was executed synchronously. So this one shows up first. While this one is sleeping, this one ended up producing its output, and then eventually this one also completed. So you can see that job number two finished as soon as its output was done, and after the 1 second there, job number one was finished. And that would have been more obvious if I had used a longer sleep time. Currently I'm using TCSH. Bash would show things in a similar way.
Yeah. Can you show on the black screen?
Pardon me?
Do they show on the black screen? You want to use?
Oh, is it pointed? Okay, thank you. Might come in handy. Other things that are useful when you're doing background execution, I'll just show an example here where I'll just let that run for a longer time. As I pointed out, the process ID shows up there as it starts background execution. But if you didn't make a note of that, you might forget what it is. You can always just run PS and find out what your processes are. And you'll see that I've got this sleep process, and there's the process ID again. The other nice thing with PS is there's different options you can use. When you're using, this is the BSD syntax I'm using with these options here. The U format gives you user mode output, so the fields are different. The X is a useful option. That says show all the processes that I have running, whether they're attached to the current terminal session or not. And that's useful, for instance, if you had background processes started on one terminal and you want to check their status from a different terminal, or you've logged out and you're logging back in. So the X option will show you that. If you're using a BSD type system, you wouldn't have those options available, so you would have to do something like PS minus, actually, instead of E, I think I can go minus U and then my user ID. Yeah. Oh, I think my sleep command has already finished. There you go. Yeah. And I believe that would show it as well, with the minus F option. And with this, it would show it whether it was attached to the current terminal or not. Other things that you may want to do with background execution, there's a wait command, which basically, as the name implies, it just waits for the execution of all background tasks for this current shell to complete. So in this case, I might be waiting a very long time. I can just interrupt that. I should be able to interrupt that. I can't do that. Oh, it's done now anyway. And of course, the other thing you can do is there's the kill command, where you specify the process ID. Okay, and then if I look at my process listing again, there's no more sleep command. So I started off with just the very basic commands. These ones that I've described up until now are available on pretty much any Unix system going back to like the very early days of Unix. They don't require any special support in the kernel or in the shell to do any of the things I've just shown you how to do. Someone was mentioning foreground and background. I purposely avoided those up until now. There's a whole other set of commands which fall under the category of job control. And those were actually BSD extensions to the early Unix systems. And if you happen to be working on a System 5 system, pre-System 5 release 4, you may not have those job control features in the kernel, or you may not have them in whatever shell you're running. Some of the early, like the Born shell, KSH, those didn't necessarily support job control unless they were added in as extensions to the system. But on pretty much any modern Unix system, whether it's Linux or macOS or Solaris, pretty much all of them now have the BSD job control features incorporated into the kernel and into most of the shells you're likely to use. Certainly with CSH, TCSH, and Bash, you would have job control available. So, what does job control let you do in addition to what I've already shown? First of all, there's a jobs command that would list the various jobs we've got running. So now I've got two separate jobs running the same command. You can also go jobs minus L, which gives you a little bit more information. It shows the process ID associated with each of those jobs. One of those shows a plus sign. That is essentially kind of the current job. So if I were to run a command like foreground, okay, there I had two different commands actually running. Okay, so what I did is I just went foreground, FG, without specifying a particular job. And then what I did was I used Control Z, which is also a job control feature, which is why I held off on explaining that. Control Z, unlike Control C, doesn't kill the job. It essentially just sends it a signal to suspend it. And So now you can see from here that my foreground command attached me to job number one, which was the one indicated by the plus sign over here. And then when I suspended it with Control Z and then ran jobs again, it shows that that job number one is the one that's suspended. And job number two was still running all that time. And so now, after the 50 seconds elapsed since job number two started, it shows that that one has completed. If I repeat the jobs command, you'll see that my suspended one is still there. It's like the clock has just stopped on that one. So the job is still there, just kind of in suspended animation. And I can get it running again in the foreground as I did up here, or with the BG command, I can say start it running again, but in the background. And now it's its time has run out as well. So that's foreground, background, Control Z, and jobs. And that's basically all I had. Are there any questions?
The 50-second clock doesn't continue when it's suspended, though, right?
Actually,
like it ended as soon as
since it ended right away, I think it's still measuring based on wall time. So, so yeah, as soon as I reactivated that, it realized that its time was up and stopped.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, if you used a different type of sleep, like if you used a sleep command that worked on cycles.
That's right. Then it would kind of resume from where it was, but... That's actually a good question, and the answer may depend actually on what specific system you're running on, because the sleep command is implemented in different ways on different systems.
Underlying it, when you suspend a job and SIG alarm is triggered, SIG alarm on any BSD compatible system, which is pretty much everything nowadays, will be delivered to the process the instant it becomes unsuspended. So
that
anything that's based on SIG alarm, it'll still get the alarm signal. Sorry, the alarm signal isn't guaranteed to arrive, but the alarm signal generally will arrive the instant the process runs again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if the sleep were, say, a process that slept for 1 second at a time internally and did that 50 times in a row, you would lose up to 1 second. In this case, it looks like sleep set a SIG alarm to be triggered 50 seconds out. So you lost up to 50 seconds. So yeah, it depends on the internal.
One other point I'd like to add about these last few commands I described, the job control features, all of those will work only for the same shell session. So it's basically for processes that are started within that shell. So if you were to log out and log in again, or if you were to log in again on a different terminal, jobs won't show jobs that were started on a different terminal session. You won't be able to suspend a job from one terminal and resume it on another terminal with foreground on that other terminal. So yeah, jobs, foreground, background, and the Control Z, it's all within one terminal session. And so that's another reason that using PS is useful, because if your session ends up being cut off and you're logged out, going back into the system, you'll never find those jobs again with the jobs command. But using PS, and here's where the X option becomes important, to look for detached processes, then you should be able to find them that way. Question?
One of my favorite finds has been pkill, because I'm lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bother looking up the process ID, just go pkill Firefox or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very useful.
Is that the same as kill all?
Very similar.
Very similar, yeah. In fact, under BSD, I think they use kill all instead of pkill, but System 5 systems use pkill. And under Linux, I believe both commands exist. And the syntax is slightly different on the two, or the options available are slightly different. But their basic usage is the same.
Just don't use kill all in an HPUX system.
That's correct. Yes.
Or SunOS.
Or SunOS.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't log out.
This was years ago. I had these processes that clone themselves, and you try and kill something, and then you have to sort of kill everything at once, otherwise It just restarts itself. Like sometimes you have copies of, I forget what. I don't know if it was Netscape or Sendmail or one of these. You know, you want to, that goes, that starts with an init. Mm-hmm. And, for example, even if suppose, you know, you're eccentric enough to kill GDM or your login screen or something like that, and you just want to take out each process out separately to see if, if you're debugging to see if there's something wrong. Can you sort of explain the different versions? You know, like there's kill/9, kill/15, and so on. And what she said, there's kill all and pkill.
I didn't want to get into all of the different signal handling tonight because that could be a whole other presentation. But there are different signals that are available on the kill command. And in most cases, a process can be set up to either ignore that signal or catch it, or just use the default action, which is normally to just terminate that process. The exception to that is sig kill or the value 9. So when you go kill minus 9, that's essentially a sure kill for a process. And I can't remember how many times I've seen on a forum people recommending kill 9 as the first thing.
That'll get rid of it.
Yeah. Yes, that will get rid of a process for sure, but it also makes it impossible for that process to clean up after itself. So you'll end up with temporary files and whatever, a lot of potential damage from that command being terminated instantly. Kill minus 9 should only be used as a last resort. When you use kill without a signal number as an option, it uses signal number 15, I believe, which is sig term. That's the terminate signal, and that's a much better one to use because processes can set themselves up to catch that signal and do proper termination action, like cleaning up after themselves. There's also an interrupt signal, which is essentially what Control C generates. And so that's another signal value you can use with the kill command. And again, processes can set themselves up to catch that particular signal. Hang up is another one. That's minus 1. Sig hup, H-U-P. The hang up signal is one that is used very often by background processes, basically to just get them to wake up and do some sort of action. But for normal processes, they shouldn't be setting themselves up to ignore the hang-up signal, except when you use the no-hup command to intentionally start jobs in the background and then log out. And the idea there is that those background jobs should continue running after your session's over. But for normal jobs, they should be terminating when they get that hang-up signal. And sometimes you will notice jobs that don't, that you log out and there are jobs or processes that are still left running because for whatever reason they're ignoring the hang-up signal. So then you have to use kill with a different value to kill those. Any other questions? All right. Good time for a break.
Great. So we'll take a
10-minute break.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.